WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, April 25th, 2016. Boy, oh boy, do we have a great show in store for all of you out there. Most of all, our phone lines are open. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that's on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, we will recap what took place last night out in Auburn Hills, Michigan at the Palace as the Detroit Pistons were swept by the Cleveland Cavaliers. What went wrong for the red, white, and royal blue? I mean, we all pretty much saw that the Pistons were going to fall in this series, but I don't think anyone saw a sweep coming, all right? Not many people, at least. So we'll talk about the Pistons. Also, I was in the house at Spartan Stadium to witness the Michigan State spring football game as the white team defeated the green team. And you'll get our takeaways from that game and also hear post-game reaction from head coach Mark D'Antonio. Tyler O'Connor, quarterback for the Spartan team. Damian Terry, quarterback, as well as R.J. Shelton, wide receiver of the Michigan State football team. So you don't want to miss our coverage from that. Also, the Detroit Tigers are in a bit of a slump, four-game losing streak. We'll talk about why that is occurring. Don't hit the panic button. Still a lot of baseball left to play, folks. And also, we will bring you a pretty cool feature centered on the Michigan State Women's Club hockey team and the head coach by the name of Rob Blackburn. That special feature will be brought to you by the one, the only, Jason Ruff. That and more, but hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this Monday, April 25th. All right, folks, and we begin things with the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons' playoff run came to an end last night at the hands of the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Cavs completed the four-game first-round series sweep in the 100-98 final last night at the Palace. Kyrie Irving, he scored 31 points, with 20 of them coming in the second half as the Cavs had too much firepower for the young Pistons. Reggie Jackson had a chance to win the game in the final seconds, but his three-point attempt fell short of the basket with a questionable no-call in regards to Kyrie Irving's defense on that play. But the loss marks the 10th straight playoff defeat for the D, now winless since the 2008 Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics. Cleveland now awaits the winner of either Boston or Atlanta in the conference semifinals. We'll have more on the Pistons loss in just a second. Byron Scott will not return to coach the Los Angeles Lakers next season. The team announced that late Sunday. Now, Los Angeles finished with the NBA's second worst record at 17-65. Not the ideal way that Kobe Bryant would have liked to go out, but hey. The team lost four more games than it did in the previous year, franchise worst season in 2014-15. Sources said there was a recognition that it was impossible to evaluate Scott based on the talent level on the team the past 2 years, but the Lakers felt they needed a new vision that embraced the current style of wide open play and outside shooting. All right, it was a rough weekend on the diamond for the Detroit Tigers as they were swept at home by the Cleveland Indians. The Indians completed the three-game sweep with a 6-3 victory on Sunday afternoon. Tigers starter Shane Green left the game in the fourth inning due to a blister on his middle finger and will be reevaluated before making his scheduled start on Friday. Quote, "We are not clicking right now offensively. And from a pitching standpoint, we are letting leads out early in the game and we're having trouble fighting back." Direct quote from manager Brad Ausmus. The Tigers will look to get back on track tonight when they host the Oakland Athletics in the first of a four-game series. Michigan State's annual spring football game took place on Saturday in East Lansing with the white team topping the green team 14-11, your final. It was a beautiful afternoon, and the fans turned out as the MSU spring game donned a record crowd of 51,000 people. Pretty impressive stuff. 48,000 people last year. Tyler O'Connor stood out for the green team as he was 10 for 16 for 138 yards and one touchdown, showing why he is clearly the number one quarterback on the spring depth chart. Now, the Spartans will return in early August for preseason camp before the season opener, which is set for September 2nd against Furman. More on the spring game in just a second. Sunday afternoon at the Breslin Center. That's where the Michigan State football team honored the 2015 squad with the annual Spartan Football Awards Banquet. Now, for the second consecutive year, a wide receiver took home MVP honors. Aaron Burbridge was voted by his teammates as Michigan State's most valuable player. Meanwhile, Connor Cook, quarterback, and Shalik Calhoun, defensive presence, each took home the Downtown Coaches Club Award for top senior offensive and defensive players, respectively. The 23rd ranked Michigan State baseball team dropped the rubber match of its weekend with Indiana 8-4 in 11 innings on Sunday here in East Lansing at McLane Stadium. Now, the Spartans came back to tie the game in the 9th and the 10th innings, but a 4-run top of the 11th sealed the deal for Indiana. Now, the weekend series ended with the Spartans only taking one win from the Hoosiers. Both teams are now 8-4 in the Big Ten, and Michigan State's record is 27-10 overall. Still very, very impressive. And now, the MSU football team didn't have the best of luck this weekend out in Northwestern, out in Evanston, Illinois. They were swept by the Wildcats despite the home runs by Salis Wood, Leah Forrester, and Lindsey Besson in Sunday's matchup, losing 10-4. Their record is now 4-13 in the Big Ten Conference and 22-25 overall. And last but certainly not least, embattled quarterback Johnny Manziel has been indicted by a Dallas County grand jury on a misdemeanor assault charge. Dallas's ABC News 8 and CBS Dallas-Fort Worth reported that, citing sources. The formal announcement is expected to come today. Manziel's case was heard by a grand jury on Thursday. Manziel, a former Cleveland Browns quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner at Texas A&M, is accused of hitting his girlfriend, Colleen Crowley, so hard that she temporarily lost hearing in one ear. It's an ugly story, folks. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Time to start the show.
Do you think it's fair to say that the most important thing that you can do this summer and for the team this summer is for you to improve the free throw shooting so that you're on the court at the end of games?
You think I sit around all day and not work on it?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do you think that that might be the most important thing for the team this summer?
I mean, what do you think? It's obvious, right? Next question.
You know, coming here, I've been here the longest. I'm the last remaining person from my draft class. And, you know, I've seen it all. Been here for 4 long years, and it's been a struggle. So for us to play the way we played this season and come out and prove so many people wrong, saying that we weren't going to be good enough, we were such a young team, and for us to overcome injuries, you know, just different things that's going on, and to be in the playoffs and play like that, you know, you can't help but hold your head high.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. I trust that you all had a beautiful weekend. Oh, was it great or what? I mean, we're talking about temperatures in the 70s. Birds were chirping, sun was out, grass was green. Oh, it was lovely. It was lovely. I know many of you guys went out to the spring game on Saturday, which we'll get to in just a second. And we'll bring you our takeaways from that game. But, of course, I want to start off today's show by taking a look at what happened last night. Again, the Detroit Pistons falling to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the favorites in the NBA's Eastern Conference to make it to the NBA Finals. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love and company. They were absolutely fantastic. You can't take anything away from the Cleveland Cavaliers in this series. And the voice that you just heard, mixed in with a little Stevie Wonder there, is Andre Drummond's franchise player and just a phenom down low, playing center for the Detroit Pistons. Young stud. As he addressed questions after his team was eliminated from first round play. And of course, the big elephant in the room that one reporter decided to address during that press conference with Andre Drummond was, of course, Andre Drummond's horrible, horrid free throw shooting, which statistically at 35% this year, slates as the worst free throw percentage in NBA history. That is right, folks. The countless individuals that have donned an NBA jersey and went to the charity stripe, Andre Drummond has shot the worst from the free throw line. And it was a hindrance. Let's be real here. It was a hindrance throughout that entire series. The Pistons, you know, without arguably their best player on the floor, and Andre Drummond, they couldn't put him on the floor because what would Tyronn Lue do? You know, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He would just enact the hack of Drummond strategy in which they intentionally foul Andre Drummond because they know that the man could not shoot a free throw if the rim was as big as the Pacific Ocean, okay? He's just that bad at the free throw line. It became a hindrance because when Andre goes to the line and they intentionally foul him and he goes to the line and misses two free throws and the Cavaliers get an extra possession and they score, that lead just builds and builds and builds. But I will say this, though. Mad props to the Detroit Pistons for even getting into the NBA playoffs this year. It was the first time in 7 years. I was actually a guest this morning on WKAR's Current State, along with host Mark Bayshore, and Mark asked me whether or not, with the Pistons falling in the first round, getting swept in the first round to the Cavs, was this year a success for the Pistons? And clearly it was, folks. Again, anytime you do something that hasn't been done in 7 years, hats off to you. No one expected the D to get out of the first round. Let's be honest here. And heck, on the contrary mood to that, nobody expected the Pistons to get swept either. All right, I said at least 2 games. Isaac said 5 games. Ended up being a 4-game sweep. And if you are, I will say this, if you are going to get swept in the first round of the NBA playoffs, this is the way you would like to do it. The Pistons were competitive, folks. This is what I mean. The Pistons were competitive. There was not one game out of those four where the Pistons did not have a chance. There was not one game out of those four where the Pistons did not push the Cavs to the brink. Simple as that. Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Kevin Love, those boys had to play. They had to come correct, and that's exactly what they did. You got to give a lot of props to them. LeBron James last night, 22 points, 9 for 19 from the floor. Kevin Love, ugh, ugly shooting night for him, though. 3 of 15 for 11 points. Routine double-double, though, 13 rebounds along with that. But Kyrie Irving was the best player on the basketball court. And LeBron James, for many regards, he struggled shooting last night as well. LeBron, even though he had 22 points, he, again, 9 of 19, that could be a little better. LeBron wasn't great last night, but they got the job done. He also had a double-double with 22 points, 11 rebounds, but Kyrie Irving was absolutely stellar. And I think Kyrie Irving is on a redemption tour here, seeing as though he got injured in last year's NBA playoffs, not able to help his team in crunch time as they made it to the finals and, of course, lost to the Golden State Warriors. But Irving has looked like he is a man on a mission. It was pretty cool watching him engage in banter with the Detroit Pistons fans whenever he would hit a big shot. And how about, you know, I think it was like 0.7 tenths of a second left on the shot clock, and they inbound the ball to Kyrie Irving, and he's in the right corner, able to find just a slither of room, nails it, nothing but the bottom. And how about the half-court heave that he nailed? Just perfect form, and then he just looks at the crowd like, yeah. And then after the deal is done and they sweep the Pistons, he looks at the crowd, and you can clearly hear the camera audio pick up him saying, bye-bye, bye-bye. I absolutely love it. I love Kyrie Irving's competitiveness. And this was a competitive series, and we can go back to the beginning of this series where, of course, young stud Stanley Johnson said that he was in the head of LeBron James. And he was very competitive. I thought overall the Pistons did a pretty good job, You know, if you want to look at how to guard LeBron James and at least slow him down, the Pistons did a pretty good job in doing that. Credit to Stan Van Gundy and his defensive scheme. But again, the three areas that the Detroit Pistons need to work on this offseason. And again, I'm one of the few who said that I wanted to see this matchup against the Cleveland Cavaliers because it would tell you just how far the Detroit Pistons are from becoming a legitimate championship contender. First off, your bitch has to play better throughout the year. The Detroit Pistons had the 29th ranked worst defense in the league. That can't happen, folks. You need your starters to get rest. You need guys to come off the bench and to give you solid minutes. And we saw that, I think, more so near the end of the year, where guys like Aaron Baines, Anthony Tolliver really began to come on. Stanley Johnson, I love the kid, but he needs to work on his consistency. Steve Blake, I don't think we'll see Steve Blake in a Detroit Pistons uniform next year. I think they may ship him somewhere else to get a more solid backup point guard. I think that's what they need to do, and one of the moves they need to make in the offseason, if you ask me. So, yeah, the bench has to play better. Number two, Andre Drummond addressed it. He's got to hit free throws. Simple as that. He becomes a liability late in games. For as good as he is, an offensive talent, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, teams know that, okay, we can slow this guy down by just fouling him and putting him to the line because he can't shoot free throws. So that needs to be a point of emphasis for Andre Drummond. I don't know what you have to do. Go see a guru. Go see someone. But you have to get better at shooting free throws, my man. Simple as that. Even if you got to look, I know it won't look cool. Your swag may take a hit, but why not try the underhand? If you're that bad, why not try the granny shot, okay? At least try something, man. Just put the ball in the net. And third, defense. Simple as that for the Pistons, man. Defensive consistency was not there for the Pistons. Not at all. They would let teams go on runs. The Pistons would play defense in spurts. And if you want to be among the best in the league, that cannot happen. But a great young nucleus for this team, and guys like Johnson, guys like Drummond, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I love his game, and he is one of the best defensive guards in the league. I absolutely love KCP. Tobias Harris, he's a young star who can score the basketball. Reggie Jackson at only 26 years old. So this nucleus is built for years and years to come, and I think it's encouraging what we saw this year from the Pistons, all right? So what do you think about the Pistons going out in the first round? What moves do you think must happen in the offseason for the Pistons to get better? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I also want to say that I had an absolutely fantastic weekend, folks. Other than covering the spring game, I was this is my third year playing in this, but I was absolutely just thrilled to play in the Battlefield Brawl out at Marshall Park in Lansing, Michigan. And if you don't know what the Battlefield Brawl is, it's a flag football tournament that raises money and awareness for kids battling life-threatening illnesses. And they've also partnered up with the Oldham Project, who actually sponsors the program in combination with T.J. Duckett's, Todd T.J. Duckett's New World Flood program. And, you know, Todd is always in the community, and I always commend him for that because, you know, he knows that his purpose in life is to give back. And he has fully embraced that post his football career. And, you know, this is the third year that he's invited me out, and I got a chance to go out there. And it's pretty cool because it's a flag football tournament that encompasses, you know, local flag football teams from around the area. And they invite, quote unquote, local celebrities and former Michigan State athletes to participate as well. And we just compete throughout the entire day. And they label the local celebrities, quote unquote, and the former MSU players as X Factors. So I was an X Factor for the third straight year, and let me tell you, folks, this, and I feel like this every single, like the day after I play in the tournament, I feel like this every single year. My entire body aches right now, okay? I'm talking about from neck down, I am in pain, all right? It's a good pain, though. It's a good workout. I got a fantastic workout, and I took an elbow, and I was telling Isaac this before we took the air today. I took an elbow right to my nose, like literally, like right to my nose, and you know how, you know, trying to be a macho man, and you try to play it off. So I'm guarding this guy. You know, I'm playing cornerback, all right? I'm guarding this guy, and he puts a move on me, and his elbow connects, like, right on my nose. And it hurts so bad. And thank goodness, if they would have thrown to whoever I was guarding, it probably would have been a touchdown. Thank goodness they didn't. The play goes dead, And it was just immense pain. You know, and you know when you get pain where it's so bad that your eyes well up with tears? That's what happened. But I'm a man. I'm a man. So I had to just walk it off and act like it didn't happen. But let me tell you, my nose is in complete pain right now. All right? It's not broken. It's not broken. I can still touch it. But when I touch it, it's just like, okay, leave that thing alone. All right? So I may have to ice my nose after today's show. And I also took a cleat to my ankle. And I was bleeding when I got home. I saw that. So Battlefield Brawl is a fitting name for this flag football tournament. But it's a great event, and it raised a lot of money yesterday. And I love participating in it. And for the first year, I invited out my fraternity brother, Curtis, and also our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, also played in it. Isaac, how you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling well. Legs definitely a little bit sore, but I didn't sustain any of the injuries that you did, thankfully.
Thank goodness, right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great time out. Lansing was as lively as you could ask for, and I mean, it was a great competition. Knowing that all of that is going to a good cause, and it's just incredible when you can have so much fun playing for something that important. It's a great day and a great event.
Very true. I totally agree with you. So, again, if you want to find out more information about the Battlefield Brawl and New World Flood, just simply go to newworldflood.org, and the information is there. But it was a great event. You hear the phone lines in the background. Folks, call in if you want to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to go to line one right now. I know we've got our dear friend and pal of the show, Mike from Saginaw, on the line. Mike, how are you doing? How was your weekend?
I wasn't. It was great, man.
Good to hear your
really
voice.
Good
to hear your voice, man.
Yes, to hear it, man. You know what? I've been bumming since Princeton died. Since he died, man. I really have what I've been following on that story before we started talking about the Detroit Pistons and everything. It's the angle of how much the Prince coverage. You believe how many Purple Rain fans Prince got now?
Oh, it's absolutely unbelievable, Mike. And actually, on Saturday night, I don't know if you saw, but Saturday Night Live, they dedicated an entire broadcast of their show to Prince and played some of his live performances that he dined on the show dating back to the 80s. It was unbelievable. He will be missed, man. Rest in peace to one of the greatest artists ever.
You know what? Because I thought about, I was watching CNN, and I look at that, they always had Prince stories. I wonder how many of those people, like they were talking about him on Meet the Press and what's the other one, the CBS, the Sunday morning news show. I was surprised how many of those pundits and political guys was really talking about him, man. I said, wow, man, if he got those people to pay attention besides politics, I know he was pretty good, you think?
Exactly. You know, and it's always amazing when, you know, in an iconic figure like a Prince, when he passes away, how the news shows just swap whatever stories they had planned and they dedicate for days and at times weeks upon weeks to that individual. It just kind of puts in perspective just how big Prince was. It really does.
It really does. I was also before they took his body and they didn't have no funeral or nothing. They just had it before family members. And I mean, there's some people who die and they don't have their funerals till a week and a half after they dead. So I said, well, I kind of like his approach to how he handled his career. I really did.
That's Prince
and
for you.
How many
artists
would do that otherwise, I don't know. But he was just different.
That's Prince for you. And I saw that's the way he wanted his funeral to be. Nothing big, just kind of just right off in the sunset. And that's it. He didn't want anything extravagant. Now, I do believe that there will be a memorial. You know, there's going to be a huge event to honor Prince. So I think that's in the coming days. I don't think they've announced a date on that just yet, Mike.
All right. Here's what I'm going to ask you about the Pistons and stuff. Is that the Pistons, do you think by them playing in the AC, do you think that'll gain experience for them down in a couple years from now?
Playing in a what, Mike? I'm sorry.
Playing in the playoffs.
Playing in the playoffs, of course.
Even though they got eliminated, do you think that's really valuable for them to get that playoff experience for years down the road and they building up to something? It's just like some teams get in the, like they go up to the fifth and sixth seed, but they don't go up they records don't improve and they wind up going back down again. What you think about that?
That's a no-brainer, Mike. I mean, this team getting playoff experience is going to set them up, because next year if they make the playoffs, it's not going to be a, you know, eyes wide open type of an affair. You know what I mean? They're not going to be surprised that they're here anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think, you know, when this is the first playoff appearance for the Pistons in 7 years. And I think for a lot of the young guys who have never experienced the playoffs, it was sort of a feel like, okay, wow, we're here, really. You know, it was like they were in awe of it. You know what I mean? But I will say, only to a certain extent can you have that conversation, because it felt like, okay, once after game one, it was like, okay, the Pistons were like, okay, you know what, we're here. Let's just ball out and make this thing very competitive. So I think that notion only lasted for a minute. You know, it didn't linger throughout the entire series. But having a first-round matchup against the number one team in the Eastern Conference, again, a team that's expected to go to the NBA Finals, when you have a young team like this, that experience is invaluable for this team. That experience is going to be something that is going to help this team tremendously next year, I think, Mike.
Okay. I was going to say, since they fired Byron Scott, they was talking about some of the college coaches like Calvin Ollie from Connecticut, John Capriati, Tom Izzo, and they was talking about some of the college coaches might be interested in coaching the Lakers. I mean, would you, as a college coach, would you really want to coach a professional basketball team? Because it's like those jobs, unless you're Greg Popovich, you don't last 3 or 4 years at most, and then your star player leaves, and then you out the door because the players turn against the coach. I don't understand why a college coach, like, well, Billy Donovan did. Billy Donovan took a job, and the guy who was coaching at Iowa State, he took the Chicago Bulls, Fred Hoiberg. But would you, as a college coach, would you rather be interested in a pro basketball job? Be honest with you, in basketball, not football.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, thanks for the call. I tell you what, it's all situational when it comes to that leap. I think for a college coach who is, you know, like, let's take Coach K, for instance. Coach K has coached to the pinnacle, to the top of the top of the game. You know what I mean? He's won championships. He's been there, done that. So I think as a coach who's accomplished that much, why not challenge yourself and make that leap? Because we all know guys like Coach K, guys like Tom Izzo, for instance, are very competitive, and they always love that challenge. So once you've done all you believe that you can do and accomplish at that level of sport, then some do, you know, get that bug and want to say, all right, let me see if I can do the same in the NBA, without doubt. But I don't know about the Lakers. I don't know if any college coach out there really wants to take over a franchise like that, because let's be real here. That franchise is so bad right now, Mike. I mean, it's going to take some years for this team to get back to the relevancy that they had in the early 2000s during the Kobe and Shaq years, because right now they are nowhere close to even making the playoffs, let alone being a championship contender. It's going to take some years here. They are in a rebuilding period. So I don't know what coach will want to take on that challenge. I just don't know.
All right, man. Before I move to get going,
well, we're short on time,
caller.
Mike. Make it real quick. We got other callers.
All right. I just want to say Billy Paul passed on, too. So I just thought I'd throw that on out there to you.
Appreciate that, Mike. Always a great call. Appreciate it. Let's go to line two. We've got Ray on line two from Indiana. Ray, what's up, man?
Oh, I'm so happy. So happy. I went out jogging. I found out the Lion cheating. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady lost their appeal, and the crybaby's going to have to sit out 4 games. That league better not get – they're talking about making a compromise with him. If he wouldn't have won that appeal, he would have been out scot-free. And he had only one way to prove his innocence, okay? Mm-hmm. That, not to destroy that cell phone, and he destroyed that cell phone because he knew what it said on it. And he lied like heck. Every quarterback that's ever played the game said the quarterback knows how much he wants air pressure in that ball from the ball boy. You can't tell me that ball boy didn't know from Tom Brady didn't know about it.
Well, I tell you what, again, if you haven't heard, as Ray stated, this news came across around 1:09 p.m. according to ESPN, at least. Oh, I think even a little bit before we get on the air. But a federal appeals court has ruled that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady must serve a 4-game Deflategate suspension imposed by the National Football League, overturning a lower judge and siding with the league in a battle with the NFL Players Association. And I tell you what, Ray, this really came as a surprise to me, because, again, when you look at the logistics of the case, And with you know, the logistics that really alluded to Tom Brady, you know, having some, you know, it, just really the evidence against Tom wasn't hardcore evidence and proof that he was directly involved. I was very surprised that they decided to go the other way and still put down this four-game suspension.
That judge had no business overturning it and starting that, start with.
Right, right.
They got agreement with the union they have for years and years. The commissioner has the right, what he thinks is fair, to put down whatever level. That was a written agreement by the union, too. They have no business going to court, because if they wouldn't have won this thing, anybody that did booze, drugs, like Johnny Manziel or all these other guys that don't want to do what the league tells them to do, they could go to court on every little ruling and win it. And this guy had a chance. When he destroyed that cell phone, he knew what he was doing.
Right.
Don't believe that he didn't know that they would know what was going to be on that, what he said on to those guys that were putting the air in the balls. And it's the principle of the thing. It's not the crime. It's the principle of the thing. You don't go around lying and cheating to win. They're a great team already, okay, New England? They've won four world championships, okay? Why do they have to cheat? Like, just like when Kurt Warner lost that Super Bowl. We'll never know if they didn't know some of the plays, and that's why Kurt Warner had two interceptions in that game. We'll never know.
And I think more so, Ray, when you look at the lower judge saying, okay, no, we're going to just throw it out the window, no four-game suspension for you. And now you see this federal appeals court ruling that, yeah, you need to serve this four-game suspension. I think more so this ruling is coming from the fact that Tom Brady, let's be real here, he was not, with him destroying that cell phone, he was not fully cooperating with the system, okay? Because anytime you went that route and destroyed your cell phone so that these text messages, who knows what's in the text messages, so that these text messages couldn't have come out, I did have a problem with that. But as far as the hardcore evidence, other than that, it's a bit faulty. So I think if you're going to chastise Tom Brady with anything in this situation, it's the fact that he did destroy that cell phone so quick to not allow it to be a form of evidence in this case.
What was that? Was that ruling 3-0 or 2-2?
The ruling was 2-1. It was a 2-1 decision in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they going to appeal it to the Supreme Court? Do you know?
I have to read up more on it, because again, this story literally just came through. I don't know if Isaac, if you've done more reading on it, but I really just saw the headline.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of reports, and right now it's all speculation. We don't have any idea where this thing's going from now.
Well, it's very rare you can go to the Supreme Court and get a ruling on anything. So if they're smart, they'll just let it go and take the four-game suspension. But I hope the commissioner, if he's listening out there, don't give him any breaks. He doesn't deserve any, because he lied all his way along the system, and now he finally got to pay the fiddler for a thing. He can sit down there with Lloyd Carr and Jim Harbaugh and all the rest of the liars and beeline and cheat his way and tell people about him, how him and Bill Belichick cheat to win.
Ray, thank you for the call, my man.
All right, buddy.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming, Isaac. As soon as you said Ray was on the line, I'm like, yeah, we're going straight to Deflategate with this one. Folks, call in. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We love hearing what's on your noggin. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat about the Michigan State spring game. I was there. You get to hear my post-game report and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Where? The 2015 senior class was honored at halftime of this year's spring game this afternoon at Spartan Stadium. And of course, one of the biggest questions going into next year is who is going to replace the winningest quarterback in school history, in Connor Cook. Well, it felt like a vibe of out with the old, in with the new. Did we make strides toward answering that question?
I think everybody wants to hear the coach say he's the quarterback. And I'm not going to say he's the quarterback until we get in a game and we see the production from our quarterback position. And so until we see the production on a consistent level, you know, I'm not going to make the mistake of saying this guy's it and put all the pressure on one guy.
Tyler, do you feel like you are the guy right now?
I feel very good. I mean, there's a lot of football to be played. You know, these next few months, a lot can happen throughout the summer. That's kind of the invisible time of the season, of the full year calendar. A lot can still happen, but right now I feel very good about where I'm at.
It's still really early to tell. We have all summer and then fall camp too. It's going to be a fun competition. I know we're all competing, but as well, we're all helping each other. Tyler, definitely, he's been here. We're all always helping each other as well as competing, so we never let it get too awkward or anything. I mean, it's a good time.
So it's all love.
Yeah, all love.
When it comes
all
to competition, that goes out the window.
Yeah, but all love still. We want to all obviously see each other do well.
How do you think that race stacks up right now? Who is that guy?
To me, it's a spring game, but Tyler's right up there. Tyler's up there, and to me, he's been up there to me. I don't know what the coaches have, but to me, he's been up there.
Right now, Tyler, I think, has done a nice job with that. The other guys have too, but they got to be consistency. And he certainly has the most experience, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
Okay, let's be real. There's so much that can happen between now and, of course, the season opener when the Spartans play Furman on September 2nd. But hey, who doesn't love the spring game? It's, of course, used to feed the college football fandom. And you got to admit, it does feel good that football is back, even if for just one afternoon.
We'll move forward. We set our goals high, and we're looking forward to the start of the 2016 season.
Welcome back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, and what you just heard was my postgame report from Saturday afternoon's Michigan State football spring game. And boy, oh boy, was it fun or what? You know what? I've done something different. I did something different, I should say, that I haven't done before when covering an athletic event. You know, I looked at it like this. You know, it was a beautiful day. 70 degrees. Sun was shining. Free admission. Free parking. So many of you guys came out on Saturday. And, I felt like this. I was walking back to the press room after setting up the camera and tripod in the media room. And I said to myself, you know what? Let me just check out and see how the crowd looks. So I walked up one terminal. And just to take a peek at what the crowd looked like, and at this is right before kickoff, and you know people were still filing in, but I saw a spot on the left part of the stadium where it's just all bleachers. Where I said, you know what, I'm just gonna sit up here and just take it in. So I sat up there, and there was really no one around me, and you know what, I said to myself, why not just watch the game from here, you know, instead of going to the press box. Really, it's really quiet, you know, which is good if you when you're really working and in tune with everything. But you know, that angle is so high, you don't really get that at the game feel there. So I went up there with my backpack, I took out my laptop, took out my notebook, and I watched the entire first half in the crowd with you guys. And it was so cool being out there because when I was sitting up there, there were three individuals who walked up to me and said that, hey, Al, we listen to you every day and we watch a TV show and we absolutely enjoy it. So thank you so much, all of our coveted listeners out there. And it was a great time just powwowing with you and just sitting up there. And it was interesting because I was sitting up there, had my laptop out, and there at first one guy comes up to me and he thought I was a scout. He's like, hey, buddy, I got to know, what team are you scouting for? And I'm like, I wish, all right? No, I'm not with the Atlanta Falcons or the Baltimore Ravens, all right, or even the Detroit Lions, let alone. No, I'm just out here reporting, and we had an interesting chuckle there. So it was fun, though. It was a fun time. Again, 51,000 100,000 fans coming out to check out the spring game. It's no 100,000 out in Columbus, Ohio for Ohio State spring game, but hey, it's still great, and it's still a record nonetheless, all right? And I commend you all for coming out. It was a fantastic time. And now what you just heard in my postgame report were the voices of head coach Mark D'Antonio, quarterbacks Tyler O'Connor and Damian Terry, as well as senior wide receiver R.J. Shelton. Of course, my premise of my story, which you can check out on WKAR.org if you want to check out the visual of that report. My premise of the story happened to be, of course, you know, the big question coming out of spring practice. Who is going to replace Mr. Connor Cook? That's the question on everyone's mind. And that's and it's so interesting. When I was sitting in the crowd taking my notes, and I was just listening to the Spartan fans who were sitting around me, they were saying, man, I wonder who's going to be the guy. You know, I really want to see who's going to be that quarterback next year. And I heard, you know, as the game went on, I heard multiple comments about, you know, how many of you like Tyler O'Connor, how many of you really like Messiah DeWeaver, who I believe is going to redshirt this upcoming season. And, you know, Damian Terry, he's pretty agile when it comes to just taking the football and running the ball. That's the best facet to what he does when he's, you know, behind center. Tyler O'Connor, though, is the clear number one guy, I believe. And you heard me ask the question to Tyler and Damian Terry and even RJ. Do you feel like you're the number one guy? Who is the number one guy? And Tyler feels like, yeah, he's in a good position right now, as you just heard. He's a fifth-year senior. He went 10 of 16 for 138 yards, threw for a touchdown as well for the green team. He ran four times and had 28 yards on the ground. Tyler O'Connor was the best all-around quarterback when you look at his body of work on that Sunday afternoon. He was poised in the pocket. I think he did a great job of going through his progressions. His accuracy was up to par. And we saw at times when the pocket would break down, he has an ability to throw on the run or just say, skip it. I'm taking this ball and I'm seeing how many yards I can get. We saw the total package from Tyler O'Connor on Saturday, which gives him that edge, I think. Now, for the white team, we saw Damian Terry start. Overall, Damian Terry went 6 of 12 for 70 yards, ran for a 3-yard touchdown in the third quarter, and had an 11-yard run on that same drive. I thought that Damian Terry, when you evaluate what he was able to do on Saturday, I thought Damian Terry came out a bit nervous. And we saw multiple overthrows. So Damian Terry is not the most accurate quarterback. Again, just evaluating what we saw on Saturday. He's not the most accurate guy. We saw him, you know, miss some guys, overthrows, you know, and miss some pretty simple throws. But again, he, you know, when it comes to improvising and again, taking the football and running it, which we saw Tyler O'Connor do, as I just stated, but Damian Terry has some speed. He's got some speed and he's a big body as well. So Terry is slated as the number two guy. But I thought that in the brief moment that we saw Messiah DeWeaver, he was fantastic. You know, he went 2 of 6, 27 yards, had a 58-yard drive in the second quarter. If you remember, that led to a Delton Williams touchdown. And, you know, just seeing that drive from Messiah DeWeaver, I mean, he came in and was really a spark plug for the team. I like Messiah DeWeaver a lot. And with a name like Messiah, you better be good, right? Love that name. So, I love Messiah, but I just don't see him in the mix to be that starter this year. So I think he'll take a red shirt. Brian Lewerke, the fourth quarterback we saw, he was 2 of 9 for 42 yards. Had a 25-yard run, which was pretty impressive, but he also threw an interception in the fourth quarter. So, for me, I got to go Tyler. Again, just doing what I saw Saturday, okay? Tyler, Messiah, I would go Damian, then Brian Lewerke. But in all reality here, you know, I've heard some great things about Damian. I think Damian is overall the better quarterback right now when comparing him to Messiah. I may have to put him number two. And then Messiah, then Brian. So I don't know. You can go tit for tat, but I think the clear thing here that we can draw from this is that that Tyler O'Connor is the guy right now on April 25th, 2016. Again, a lot could change. That's why I don't put too much heart on spring, all right? Because a lot could change between right now and September 2nd in East Lansing at Spartan Stadium when the Spartans play host to Furman. A lot could change, okay? As far as other impact players, I also want to note this, though. There were a few players that didn't play. It is spring. You don't want to risk injuries. Defensive tackle Damon Knox didn't play. Right tackle Cody Keeler didn't play. two guys that are supposed to be senior starters. Also, safety, Matt Morrissey, he didn't play. Linebacker Ed Davis, who's coming back from the injury. We didn't see him either. So those are a few names that didn't take the field, a few big names that didn't take the field on Saturday. As far as the running backs, again, you can't really draw too much from the running back position right now because what we saw when it comes to the respective offensive lines for both the green and the white team, we're talking about split offensive lines, okay? But senior running back Nick Tompkins had 28 yards. He was pretty impressive. He led the way for the running back corps. L.J. Scott, I mean, he had a few runs where it was like, man, L.J. Scott is a complete man, all right? 21 yards on 10 carries for the white team. Gerald Holmes, 7 carries for 13 yards. Madre London, 4 yards, 4 attempts. And, of course, we mentioned Delton Williams with that short yardage TD in the red zone. But, you know, two names I want to bring up that I thought were very impressive, you know, other than you know, riddling you with quarterback talk. I thought that linebackers Chris Frey and Andrew Dowell were pretty impressive. Chris bought out for the green, Andrew for the white. Chris, we saw him sack Damian Terry, and we also saw Andrew get credited with a sack on Tyler O'Connor. And what makes this position particularly interesting, and I let this be known on Current State this morning as well, is that, of course, these are two guys competing for that outside linebacker spot. Now, linebacker core that is going to be without co-captain last year, Darian Harris, who hopes to make his NFL dreams come true later on this week out in Chicago. All right, so, you know, Chris Frey and Andrew Dow, two names to watch for as we get closer to football, even though we got a whole summer to get through. But I'm just saying, as when football season comes back, college football season comes back, watch for those two guys. I really liked Andrew, though. I mean, he was flying all up and down the field. He was absolutely incredible, all right? So those are some names that stood out for me. Isaac, did you get a chance to check out the spring game? And if so, what'd you think?
Yeah, I was over there, and I thought the big takeaway is what everybody's talking about. That's the quarterback position. Seeing Tyler O'Connor flourish in that role as the starter, he was declared the front runner for the job by Mark D'Antonio, even though there was no certain conclusion on who would get that job. You saw that, or heard that, rather, in the package that you just put together. But at the same time, Tyler O'Connor is clearly the go-to guy right now. It is his job to lose, and I thought he looked as good as advertised Saturday. And then the other takeaways I had were similar. Andrew Dowell looked unbelievable. Riley Bola, then you've got John Reschke and Chris Frey, who all looked very impressive at that linebacker position. There will be no shortage of talent right there. And I don't know if you remember this, Al, but we actually have a connection to Andrew Dowell.
I was just about to bring it up. You know where I'm going. Yep. You stole my thunder. I was going there. Yep.
Right at the Michigan game, where he was the one, either him or I'm forgetting the other guy in the image. But I think it was him who was saying, rope-a-dope, rope-a-dope, and then you take their life away. Talking about the Michigan Wolverines after that heartbreaking or thrilling, depending on your perspective, play at the Big House this past year. But it'll be exciting for Spartan football next year, and a lot of young talent coming through the door. A lot of established talent that you might not have seen all of, but you saw the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see the whole thing now.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I was just about to bring it up because, yeah, we actually caught on our Current Sports camera after, of course, the miracle at the Big House. I think it's such a generic tag for that play, but the miracle at the Big House in which Michigan State won on the last second, you know, muffed punt attempt by the Wolverines. Jalen Wash Jackson taking it back and breaking his hip on the play. We got on camera Andrew Dow, and I forget who the other player is, but it's eluding me right now. But, yeah, Andrew Dow, I think, was the one who said, rope-a-dope and then take their life at the end. That's why I labeled my story as rope-a-dope at the Big House, which I think is a much more – I think it's a sexier name. But
oh, it's a perfect title. Yeah,
exactly, because you have a quote that comes directly from that moment. But anyway, yeah, Andrew Dow, he's going to be a fantastic player, I think, for this team this upcoming year. Also, speaking of the – I want to mention this. Speaking of the NFL draft, again, the NFL draft takes place round one on the 28th. So that's 3 days from now on Thursday, round one out in Chicago, Illinois. And of course, you know, names like Jack Conklin, you know, Jack Allen, Donovan Clark. Speaking of those guys, Conklin, Allen, and Clark all worked out for the Detroit Lions, who have the number 16 pick in this year's NFL draft. And again, later on this week, we're going to have a mock draft. You don't want to miss that at all. But also Shalik Calhoun, Darian Harris, Aaron Burbridge, and also Connor Cook, which over the weekend, and I really think I may be buying the conspiracy theory here. I think a lot of people are throwing out in media land right now that, you know, another anonymous source, I don't even know if you can call yourself a source if you're anonymous, right? But another anonymous tip went out into the NFL stratosphere that criticizes Connor Cook for not being a leader once again. I know he didn't go on record, but it was an anonymous source, and you saw Mel Kiper comment on it over the weekend and whatnot. And I'm just sitting there, and this is a conspiracy theory floating around in the media stratosphere right now, is that someone is throwing out all this crap about Connor Cook not being a leader, not being a captain, you know, while at Michigan State his senior season. A lot of people, you know, some media members out there feel as though this is out there so that NFL teams at the top tier would pass on Connor Cook, hoping that he falls to their respective team, whatever that team may be. So I don't know. I don't know. It could be true. I wouldn't be surprised if it is. But again, we saw another individual come out and say that Connor Cook is not a leader. So I don't know. I agree with John Gruden. John Gruden came out during his John Gruden quarterback camp in which he sat down with Connor Cook and said that Connor Cook is a first-round quarterback, and I totally agree. So as the week goes on, we'll give you guys a preview of the NFL draft and which Spartans will go with where, okay? So you don't want to miss that at all. In the meantime, though, I want to play this feature. I think it's a pretty cool one. It comes from our production assistant, Jason Ruff, and it centers on the Michigan State women's hockey team. Now, Rob Blackburn is in his first year as the new head coach for the Michigan State Division I women's club hockey team. Now, he came to Michigan State from the University of Michigan. How about that, right? Where he coached their women's team for 7 years. Blackburn discusses his shift from Ann Arbor to East Lansing and his hopes and expectations for Michigan State women's hockey.
The MSU women's club hockey team has a new coach this year, Rob Blackburn, who previously coached the Michigan Wolverines for 7 consecutive years. So that begs the question, why would a successful Wolverine coach want to become a Spartan?
Basically, when Michigan indicated that they were not interested in me coming back in the capacity that I originally was coaching, they said they were opening it up to a paid coach. They had money for a paid coach. I was welcome to apply. In that process, as soon as Michigan State heard about that, they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to coach. I contacted Michigan to say, are you seriously considering me or not? And the indication was that they got upset that I was asking the question and said that that they wouldn't be considering me. Thought about it a couple days for the extra travel and everything, and decided that because the state players wanted me, that I wanted to be here.
Senior forward Karis Katuro admits she was a little nervous about having a Michigan man behind the bench.
There was just a little concern just because it was my senior year and coming in, I didn't know how the adjustment was going to be made. But in the end, it turned out really well, and I've had the best season and most fun season I've ever had. So,
what is it about Coach Blackburn that you like so much?
He gives the constructive criticism, but also has a good balance of keeping us motivated and positive and gives us compliments, but also is not afraid to tell us when something's we're doing something wrong. So,
even Coach Blackburn himself was a bit nervous about how well he would acclimate to the green and white.
There wasn't uncomfortableness for jumping over. It was my own personal, was I going to be able to make the switch? I graduated from Michigan as well, and be able to make that switch and be a Spartan without offending players. That was my worry. I didn't want to offend players because I wanted to be here.
Far from offending his players, Blackburn easily won them over. Sophomore forward Lindsay Oden recounts how Blackburn became an integral part of the Spartan family.
He kind of just took over from day one, and his practices are great. I mean, we don't really have to say anything. We don't have any recommendations. The biggest part that I worked with Coach on was the fight song and teaching him the fight song. He actually didn't learn the fight song until last weekend when we played Michigan, because I told him he needed to know the fight song by Michigan weekend so when we won he would be able to sing it. So that was probably the biggest change for him.
Finally, it took me a while. I finally made myself learn the fight song, and I got it now. I'm not going to sing it here, though.
At Munn Ice Arena, I'm Jason Ruff for WKAR Current Sports.
I gotta love that. Thanks so much to Current Sports PA Jason Ruff for bringing that intriguing story to the fold. And, you know, listening to Jason's story, I kind of had an interesting flashback to, of course, the dynamic between, you know, the Michigan softball head coach, Carol Hutchins, and, of course, her ties with Michigan State. She graduated from Michigan State. She's a Michigan State alumni, but she's the head coach of the Michigan softball team, and she's actually the winningest coach in Division I college softball. That's pretty cool stuff. And it's got to be an interesting dynamic when you go to – I can only imagine if I went and worked at U of M, you know what I mean? That'd be kind of weird. That'd be kind of weird, Isaac.
Yeah, I've been to the University of Michigan a couple of times, and yeah. I won't necessarily air my grievances on the show, but the specific times I've been, I felt traitorous at the end of the day. That's the word I'd use. So it is an odd switchover. Yeah, traitorous is a word.
Okay. Wow, look at you. I'd say Isaac always brings out these big words, and I'm like, what? What'd you just say? Traitorous. I've never heard that word used in a sentence. Okay. Good stuff,
my
man.
Fault, yeah.
No, I like that. I like that. All right. Well, let's, with 4 minutes left in the show, of course, we love to end Monday's Current Sports with a segment we entitle Weekend Winners. We look at the weekend that was in the sports world and beyond and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, Isaac, I've only got one weekend winner this week, and I want to shout out the NFL. It's rarely that they are a weekend winner on my list, but get this. The NFL has notified all 32 teams that not a single player tested positive in drug testing at February Scouting Combine. How about that? The league usually distributes the results of drug tests about a week before the draft, and those results almost always include the names of some players who tested positive, which can affect draft results. But get this, not a single player tested positive. That's insane. That's insane, Isaac. That's pretty cool.
That's ridiculous. And actually the last league just about you'd expect it from. But congrats to the NFL. You can't ask for any more from your players than that. My weekend winner and losers double prong, the Golden State Warriors, because of course Steph Curry went down again with a grisly looking injury where his knee turned. They're calling it originally a left knee sprain. And this is a guy with injury problems in the past. I'm hoping he's okay. Nobody should have to go through injuries, especially in the playoffs. So I hope he's all right. But then after that game, Draymond Green had a really interesting response to a reporter. And this is my weekend winner, because this is how to conduct yourself in an interview.
Draymond, here's an interesting question. So last year you visit us, game 3, there's no flood, you win. Game 4, there was flood, you lose. And this year you visit us, game 3, there's a flood, you win. Game 4, there's no flood, game three, there's flood, you lose. Game 4, there's no flood, you win.
Brother,
so
you asked me about the flood in practice the other day, you know, and I said I pray for the city of Houston because you don't want to see anyone go through that. I feel like you keep trying to get at, like, us hitting three controversial statement out of me, but you're not, because I feel sorry for the people of Houston. People are losing their homes, losing their cars.
Yeah, Draymond goes on to just explain himself so eloquently why that's an inappropriate question, and kudos to him. That's how to conduct yourself as a professional.
What a stupid question. I'm going to save my rant for tomorrow's show on that one, but I like that list, though, Isaac. All right, thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR, AM 870 East Lansing. Have a great afternoon, folks. See you tomorrow, and be easy, people.